Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight. The Alan Pound with Apostle Wade. We will be with you shortly.
Look at somebody and say, I feel a breakthrough coming your way. Tell them it's a mighty move of God and it's going to change your day. Come on, clap your hands right there. Goes like this. I feel a breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. With signs and wonders, he because to perform. God is gonna bless you, but just holding on.
I feel a breakthrough coming your way.
It's a mighty move of God.
It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day.
With signs and wonders,
signs and wonders,
he because
to perform.
God's gonna bless you.
God.
Just holding on.
Just holding
on. Come on, baby.
Just holding on.
Move of God. Gonna change your day. With signs and wonders. Miracles. God's gonna bless you.
Yes, God is gonna bless you. A move of God is on the way. Friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters, you are listening to the Gospel Miracle Healing Hour. It's Thursday morning, Wednesday night, whenever it is you listen to this program. The move of God is on the way. So hold still and be ready to receive it. Have mercy. This is Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Glory United Ministries program. Service. Celebration. Have mercy.
All things are possible to them that believe. Come on, you say. Looking for your midnight.
Looking for your midnight.
Turn to sunshine.
Turn to sunshine.
Now it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
You wait.
You wait and see.
All things
are possible.
Oh yeah.
Just that belief. Just hold on.
Move of God.
Thank you for joining us tonight with the Hour of Power with Apostle Wade. Just a reminder, if you would like to sow a seed into the life of the apostle, that you can do so. You can call me, 302-401-8574, or you can send it through mail. That address is 2144 Kimball Circle, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23455. I'll give my number out again at the end of the broadcast, and you can call me if you didn't catch the address. You can always call me or text me, and I can send the address to you, or we can do a transaction over the phone. Okay, I'm going to bring in Apostle Wade. Apostle Wade, your microphone is live.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. God bless you, and God bless you. I pray that all is well in your part of God's great world. Hopefully, everyone is safe, those that were in the area that was hit by the storm. If there are any of certainly our listening audience, we pray that you're in the midst of recovery, that God has kept you and your family, and you know that things are looking up. I've heard so many testimonies, and we watched the miraculous hand of God change that storm, that the devastation that was predicted about that storm did not come to pass. There are certainly some sad occasions, and we pray for those families, but it is nothing like they expected it to be. They were expecting it to be worse than Katrina, and that the damage to be even worse than that of Katrina, but God has just blown the minds of people everywhere. Countless number of testimonies have come forth. And we thank God that it was downgraded. And so we thank him that it missed us. Now we're praying for the follow-up, which is what the Lord had shared with me. And I was telling somebody about it. I said, you know, the Lord was showing me about the storm, and the storm was going to downgrade. He said, but people don't need to stop praying. They need to pray for that which is to come. And so, and I know that in the state of Virginia, a tornado touched down in Chesapeake and somewhere in Richmond. I'm not sure where in Richmond. I want to say in Chesterfield County area, there were tornadoes there. And so we continue to pray for just, they're just natural disasters in the earth, natural things that are causing eruptions and just so many different things that are going on. And so we certainly want to continue to pray at all time. Amen. Never cease from praying, you know, and pray. We can pray about the weather and the forecast and the rain and all those things that have come. God empowers us to do so, and he gives us the wisdom and the words to speak what we need to speak. So, excuse me, continue to pray for the people everywhere. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Patricia Benjamin, who is responsible for the open door for this ministry to come forward. And so we just thank her, along with Glory United Ministries. We thank them, her people who love her and support her. I think they're having another anniversary coming up soon, and she will give information when those days and times come up. And then, of course, we thank God for Dr. Gregory Scott. And on tonight, I submit your prayer request for Dr. Scott. He's a little under the weather in the hospital, but we thank God that, you know, this morning I got a good report. So I'm grateful for the good report that I got from him. But we certainly want to lift him up, prayer list, and we know that God is in control. Amen, amen, amen. Also, just want to ask your prayers this week. I'll be leaving to go do ministry. I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually heading to Muskogee, Oklahoma. I'll be in Muskogee, Oklahoma at Old Agency Baptist Church. And then that Saturday, I think, is at the Martin Luther King Center. And then that Sunday will be at Faith Deliverance in Muskogee, Oklahoma. So please lift those events up, pray for them, and all the things that God assigns all of our hands to do. A lot of times I don't know all that people are doing, and so I pray for whatever it is that you do or you're supposed to be doing. I pray for those things that you will carry it out and that God will continuously open doors for you. Amen. We're not going to be long tonight. I want to share with you a thought that the Lord gave me. And this thought came after probably a couple of days ago. I was reading a post of somebody I don't know showed up on my news feed. And so, and he was talking about Christians, and he was talking about the fact that Christians are brainwashed and how Christians or supposed Christians, whatever you people call yourselves is what he said, how we act and we respond, you know, that most of us are brainwashed to believe something because, you know, things don't happen like we're saying. There's no good in it, and you know, you're a bunch of fakes and phonies and just a whole lot of negativities. And he said that he's an atheist, and you know, he didn't believe in this imaginary fictional fairy tale God that we believe in. There's no truth in it, and he could tell by us. And that saddened me in so many ways because, number one, I don't believe that he is an atheist. I believe that he's an individual that probably was hurt by somebody. And I think that he's probably having trouble or have had trouble to process all that he's been through at the hands of other humans. And humans that say that they're Christian and who say they're called according to the purposes of God, but they've done things because he was very specific about the things that he mentioned that, you know, these alleged, you know, Christians do, these alleged individuals do, and so how they act and respond, you know, or when a person needs help or, you know, when they're supposed to give or share or just different little stuff that he mentioned, you know, or when they said they're going to do something, you can't count on their word, they're not doing it, you know. They're just a bunch of fairies following after this fictional kid. I mean, he had all kinds of little names, you know. But you could hear the pain of the individual in what he was saying. And so I just began to think about it. I said, God, I said, you know, that is such a sad place to be. And I would love to sit down and just listen to this individual, to have a conversation with him face-to-face and just listen to what it is that he, what else he needs to get out, because there's more to this thing, you know, more to what it is that he's saying. And so then the Lord began to just deal with me about us as people being examples. You know, we can continue to grow, you know, everywhere you look, everybody's talking about, you know, being an entrepreneur. Everywhere you look, people are talking about they're a coach, coaching, coach life, you know, I'm the king coach, the queen coach. You know, everywhere you look, you know, you're seeing things. People, you know, love ministry and, you know, and we're a love fellowship. You get all of these different things, you know, people who say that God has given them this mandate to teach and to train people. And I know some people that do it and they do it in such a high level of excellence. And I believe in them and the gift that they are, and they show forth the excellence of who they are. And what they said that they're teaching. I know some of the people because I know their lifestyle off of social media and off of camera and off of TV and off of radio. I know their life, and so they're there. But I said, God, I said, we need more than a handful of people that are true examples, you know, of who you are, and your expectations of us should come forth in our daily lives. You know, I think about historically a lot of times of church and just even some of my encounters and even some of the things I encounter, you know, now, you know, as a leader, if you will. And I, you know, I believe that all of us are leaders. We're just at different levels and different positions. But as a leader, I have encountered so many other leaders that have operated in ways that they would create hurt to other leaders, you know, and I believe that we have to begin to do better. One of the things that really bothers me about leaders who, you know, who says, you know, I'm not scared, and I'm saying, God, Now I'm scared, because they may not be scared, but what they're about to say may wound somebody. And I've used that terminology too, but I'm very careful not to pull people down, and I'm very careful not to call folks' names out. I have been in so many services where I have heard leaders, Lord, Paul T.D. Jakes can't get a break. Paul Joe Orr can't get a break. Juanita Bynum could not get a break, you know, because they were in the public eye. So people had to do teachings, so they thought. And then they were getting there, and they were pulling people down. And I'm saying, God, that's not the example. That's not what we're supposed to be. If you got to teach something, teach the thing that you're supposed to teach. But don't use that as an opportunity, because you're not scared to turn somebody else down. And often people do that. I've had people to turn me down, too. I've had people to lie on me, too. I don't give ear to it. And then I make them mad, because when I know you've been talking about me, and when I encounter you, I'm going to show you more love. And that's going to tick you off even more, because you're not going to understand where I'm coming from. But you have to understand, I have to live the example that was set before me. So I was reading in the Word of God, and primarily we use this scripture that I'm going to share. We use this particular scripture when it had to do with foot washing only. That's all I remember historically, is they just use it for foot washing, you know, telling us we need to humble ourselves and wash people's feet. But in John, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse number 12, this is what the Bible says. It says, when he had washed their feet and he put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, or a messenger greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. And so when I began, I started reading all of that, and I said, God, I said, you led me to this scripture, and I said, I got to do a little digging, because there's a lot more into this passage that we're supposed to learn, that it's not just about us washing feet. And so the first thing the Lord just began to remind me of is the humility of the Lord, how he humbled himself. Sometimes people struggle with being humble, just being genuine, and to say that this thing is not too beneath me in order for me to do, that because I love people and because I am example of Christ, then I'm willing to do what I can to humble myself to be a help to somebody else. I'm willing to humble myself. Listen, you know the thing about John 13 is, if you go back up and you begin to read that, the passage of scripture before that tells you that Jesus knew who he was. He knew who the unclean was. He knew who the people, you know, you always got a troublemaker, backbiter. You know, you always got some of the enemy, you know, that's the popular word. You always got the enemy in the camp. There's always somebody there that will try to go against you, pull you down, you know, have disbelief in you and what it is that you're supposed to do. And he knew that. He said it up front. But it did not deter him from taking a moment to create an example for the disciples so that they would know that Jesus is leaving this lesson, that I'm creating a lesson plan for you right now, and when I'm gone, I expect you to do as I do. You know, I expect you to be as I have been. And so that's really what's going on right here. You know, if you go on and look and you begin to read the chapter, and I begin to read and look in different commentaries, it talks about the fact that in those verses that he wanted the disciples to be able to testify of his love. And so if we're his example, that means that when we do good, that we want people to be able to testify of the love that's in our heart. Not just the love of Christ that we have of Christ, but the true, pure love, the agape that lives from the inside of us. Then it talks about that he might have an instant where he is voluntarily being humble when he didn't have to. Didn't have to wash his feet. He could have said, disciples, y'all get over there and handle that. But he took a moment to say that I am able to do this, and this is not beneath me. What am I saying? Jesus is our helper. We need to learn to reach out to people and help without question. And help without question, and help without question, and help without being critical, and help without criticizing. Glory to God. We need to learn to do that, because I picked up all of these things coming from that young man's post that he wrote there. That where is the genuine nature of the person that will help? Can I tell you, there are too many people that will help. Now, certainly, I know a lot of great people that will help, that will seed, they will help. They'll cook you a meal. They'll do whatever. They'll pray with you. They will be available for you in whatever way that they can, and they will do it from the purest place of their heart, that they're not condemning of you. They're not judging of you. They're not going to help you and then go back and tell somebody else that they did it. They're not going to help you and have an expectation on you, that they will voluntarily humble themselves. What does that mean? That Jesus said, I made a conscious decision to do this. I made a conscious decision to get out of my comfort zone and to get out of the way that people think of me and become a servant unto man. And so that's the example that he left unto us. Amen. That we've got to be able to humble ourselves. And then the theologian talks about that during this time that it was that he might signify to them, amen, the significance of spiritual washing. And he talks about the discourse that he had with Peter in verses 6 to 11. And he talked about all of that. And then he says that he may set them an example, that Jesus was literally setting in place an example for people to do, that there is no thing that you cannot do for the purest place of your heart, because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And so in church, we have to learn to glean those examples so that we won't leave people wounded, you know, so that we won't have people going back out saying, you know, they're not honorary people, you know, they're not people that don't do what they say. You know, he talked all about, you know, the preachers that, you know, they take up all the monies and you know, and then they don't do anything with it. And that's just a blanket statement, because that's, you know, that's not the majority. I have to believe that's just not the majority of leaders. And certainly it is not the leader that I am. What gets me about it is because so many people believe that, even Christians, hello, even the people that's in church, they believe that a lot of the leaders are out there. They're just raking in the money and they're doing whatever. And the thing that bothers me about that is that makes it hard for those of us who are working the kingdom agenda, and then people that give, not everybody, but people that give in judgment, or they want to control the giving, or they don't want to give because they don't know the exact area that it's given in. And so they put all these things that are offensive to me. Amen. I'm sure the other leaders that are on the line can attest for that. Other ministers that's on the line, amen, can attest to that. But those things are offensive. That's not Christ-like either. That's not Christ-like to put the leader or the person or the ministry or the revivalist or whoever the person is in that light, because there are other people that are not living the example, that there are other people that are not being the example. And as a result, it's now causing you not to be example, because Jesus gave freely. He gave freely. He gave his life to two thieves. Glory to God. He gave freely. He gave his best. And he didn't say, okay, now look at these. I'm thinking about dying for you. Okay, well, you know, you guys are there, and you're not worthy of it. There was no judgment, no, and from the purest place of his heart, he's like, I just have to be. And that's what he's saying. You just have to be. What do you have to be? You have to be different. You have to be above board. You have to be an example. You have to be full of love. You have to be willing to humble yourself. You have to be willing to be a volunteer. You have to be willing to help other people. You have to be willing to touch somebody's life. You have to be willing, because that's what it means to be an example. Listen, I'm going to read you what I will call, don't get mad with me, preachers, amen. You can send me a text message, email, amen. But I'm going to read what I would call a prophetic release, amen. And this release came by 1 year ago. And it says this. It says, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Some of y'all already know who I'm talking about now. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Take a little time for your busy day to encourage someone who has lost their way. Or would I be taking a stone if I asked you to share a problem that not your own? In other words, share with somebody else. Somebody's going through. And so do what you can to share in the problems of somebody else. What can you do to be a blessing to somebody else? What can you do to help somebody else? And then she goes on and says, we can change things if we start giving. There that word, if we start giving. Why? Because Jesus gave from the purest place of his heart. He gave his life. His life was more valuable than dollars or cents. The saints struggle with dollars and cents. They struggle with money. They struggle to give you money. They struggle, so to speak. Not everybody, amen, but there's that struggle there that hinders us from being the example of the humble Christ that we meet in John 13. The humble one. So the song goes on, reach out and touch somebody's hands. It says again, you, make this world a better place if you can. Glory to God. Then there's another verse that says, if you see an old friend on the street and he's down, remember his shoes could fit your feet. Glory to God. His shoes could fit your feet. Just remember that. Glory to God. And so you've got to do what you can to be an example. To be an example. It says this. It says, try a little kindness. You'll see. It's something that comes very naturally. We can change things if we start giving. So why don't you? And that's not even a question. That's more of a statement. So why don't you? I mean, go ahead, try. Go ahead and give it a try. Be the example that Christ was, to give from the purest place of your heart, to let him use you from the purest place of your heart. Glory to God. Why don't you? Just reach out. Reach for somebody else. Touch for somebody else. There are other people in the world that are just like that man that put that post on Facebook through all of his hurt and now claiming that he is an atheist because of what he went through at the hands of others. Can I tell you, we can reach somebody and we can change somebody. We can cause things to look different if we start giving. Give of yourself. Take time for others. Show them the love of Christ that lives in you. Years ago, we coined a phrase that said, what would Jesus do? And that's a good question. What would he do in the instances that we're presented with on a daily basis? What would Jesus do? It's a moment where you can have a reality check. Can I tell you, sometimes people will ruffle your feathers. Guess what? You can overcome that. We can speak with wisdom and we can speak with love. We don't have to condemn, pull down, amen, and show hatred and hurt and judgment. I always believe, and I have taught it for years, that the person that yells the loudest and talks the negative is the weakest of them all. And they get their strength from yelling and screaming and being nasty to people instead of showing love. And that's it. You know, that's it. Jesus is saying, show love. I'll show forth the love of Christ. What would Jesus do? How would he fix the situation? What are we doing? God is going to put us in a position where we're going to encounter people like that man that put that post on Facebook when I could feel all of his hurt and all of that he's going through. Amen. I could feel that, never met him, read his post, would love to be able to meet him. God, but so many people like that are going to cross our path. And so Jesus is saying, I left you an example. You call me teacher, and so now I'm calling you teacher. I left you the example, and so because I left you the example, that it's not just me that's the teacher. It's you the teacher. It's you the one that they're going to look at. It's you the one that's going to be able to shed light on somebody else's situation for them, to help them. It's you the one that's going to have to voluntarily humble yourself in instances. And let me tell you something.
When it comes to humility and humbling yourself, the greatest time to do it is at the moment when you want to snap on somebody. Let me just say that. Because here again, only cowards continue to act like that. Only weak people continue to act like that. But when you humble yourself, that says that I'm strong. I can compose myself. I can hold myself together. I can be light even though I want to act a nut right now. I can be light so that this situation is going to change because of my behavior, that I am going to show forth something different within myself, and I will not. Jesus could have went on. He could have acted all kinds of ways because the people that he was there to serve were the people that he called, some of them, not all of them. If you go back and read John 13, not all of them, but there were people there that he said in the beginning, you unclean, you ain't for me. That's basically what he's saying. You're not the person that's for me. You're not in this because you want to be with me. You know, you are unclean in certain ways. He knew that. But he still humbled himself according to the scripture and said, I'm going to still be a servant unto you at this moment. At this moment, I'm going to be what you need me to be. And I'm going to show you the light that lives inside of me. Go back and read John 13. You know, let the Lord begin to show you the example that he wants you to be. The Bible says, John 13:11, for he knew who was going to betray him. He knew that. But can I tell you, when you know somebody's going to upset you, ruffle your feathers, glory to God, be the example. Why be the example? Because somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. And listen, we live in the day of technology. You never know who's watching you, who you're around. I had the privilege today. I was in Sam's Club, a Sam's Club that's not even in my area. It wasn't even the one that we were going to, but my daughter ended up driving us there, and we go in there, and I was on my phone, bent over on the shopping basket, get a tap on my shoulder, and the lady says, are you Apostle Cheryl Wade? And I said, yes, I am. And so she said, oh, my goodness. She said, I see you on Facebook. She said, and I said to the Lord, one day she's going to come around in my area, and I'm going to go, and I'm just going to sit under her teaching or whatever she's going to be doing that night. And she said, God fixed it because we were going to another Sam's Club, and we decided to come to this one that we were both in this Sam's Club on together. Can I tell you, we all are about to experience some chance encounters. Glory to God. What example will people see when they just happen upon you, when they just run into you? Even with family, can I tell you, change the dynamics of your family relationship by being the example that Christ left you to be. So often I encounter people who will show more respect to people in the street than they will their own family members. They will hurt their family members, bash their family members, and they're sweethearts in the street around other people. Can I tell you, that is not the will of God. Let's get it together. Let's work so that we are breeding people that will become examples of who we are. We're teaching them. That's what Jesus said. You call me teacher, so I'm calling you teacher too. And so teacher begins to teach so that you'll create more teachers, and those teachers will begin to teach that the love of God will continue to go forth, that the love of God will continue to shine. Amen. If we want to shine bright, there's a song I think it says, shine bright like a diamond. That's what we want to do. Reach out and touch somebody. That song's by Diana Ross, in case you didn't know. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a greater and better place. Come on, you can make it. I know you can. If you start giving and if you start living, amen. Don't do it in judgment. Don't second guess it. Do it from the purest place of your heart. If there's anything that we're doing that is not the will of God for our life, then God will make us aware and he'll put the brake on it. Glory to God. He will tell us when it is that we need to make the changes and when it is that we need to do something different. God will make it known unto us. Be the example. Be who it is that Jesus left to be. I want to read this too. I was reading about example. It says this. When you talk about example, you're talking about a person that or a thing characterized by its kind. And so he is our kind, illustrating the general rule of the kind, that you are a part of the specimen. When you talk about being an example, you talk about the precedence, the lead, the model, the pattern, the example, the idea, the standard, the template, the paradigm of the individual, the object lesson. That's all the things that we're supposed to be. Glory to God. We're the model, the pattern. We're the idea. And folks will look at us and say, wow, you know, Apostle Susan Q is so full of love. I want to be like that. Amen. And wow, I see Bishop B is such a great man of standards. I want that. You know, people will say, God, I want a part of the template of their life. Amen. So that I can draw off of that. You know, it talks about being a role model, and that's what we must be. Jesus said, I left that here for you. I set the standard. I made the way. I put it down. And so now, because you call me teacher and Lord, you're right. But I'm gone now, so I'm leaving you here to be the teacher. That's basically because he was about to take his departure, I think it is, and is soon coming. And so he was saying unto them that this is the thing. If you know these things, then blessed are you. Then blessed are you if you do them. Can I tell you there's a blessing in being an example and creating healthy lives in people and restoring lives and showing love and being an example and, you know, being cheerful and happy and being a cheerful giver and a cheerful worker and a cheerful prayer and just showing people the love of God. Amen. There are so many people that are going through situations right now. And they need that. You know, they need that. We don't need a whole lot of people with posts talking about, you know, they're an atheist when they're really not an atheist. They're just a wounded soul, you know, a wounded individual, wounded at the hands of somebody that forgot they were supposed to be an example of what Jesus would do. That's all. That's all I have to say. I just wanted to share that because that little post had me just thinking, you know, and that's just a little nugget, amen, for us all to begin to check ourselves. I tell you all the time, we must live our best life ever. And while we're living our best life ever, we don't run over people. We don't forget about them. We don't take advantage. We don't wound. When we mess up, we are to be the first one in line to say, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Let's repair the breach. Can we fix it? How can we make it better? We should be the first ones in there. Amen. There is love, amen, that needs to be released. And so God is looking for us to draw people. With love and kindness have I drawn thee? He's looking for us to draw people in from the purest place of our heart so that they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. Rhonda, I'm done. If you have a question, comment, concern, press number 1 on the phone. And Sister Rhonda, we thank God for her being on the line. As always, we thank God for her, and she will bring you in. Rhonda, if anyone has pressed 1.
No one as of yet.
Praise the Lord. So I want to say I hope that you got something from this little teaching. You know, maybe not a hoopity-doopity one, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. It's what he put on my heart. We want to build people and not break them. And so let's just do it from the purest place. Jesus is our example. And so we are supposed to be the example because he set that model up for us that we must love, be willing to humble ourselves. Sometimes you have to do what you don't have to do, but it may be necessary for you to do it. And so I say, God bless you. If no one else has clicked in, Rhonda, I want to say God bless you to everyone. I thank you for your time and for your love. Amen. Amen. All right.
3541. Your microphone is live.
Hi, Apostle Sherilyn. How are you?
Hey, darling. How you doing?
I'm fine. I just wanted to tell you that I am so grateful. I'm grateful because God has put you over me and my household, and you are so anointed. You set such an example of what the disciples are supposed to be for Jesus. And I just listened to you tonight, and it brought a humbleness to me because I have so much to learn and so many ways I want to change so that I can be just like Abba. And you encourage me with what you do each Tuesday evening. So thank you so much. Thanks, Sister Benjamin, for being there to make these things possible. And I just love you, Apostle Shirley, and I'm looking so forward to you coming to Oklahoma. My husband and I are praying that we can travel to meet you there on Friday night. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Prophetess Darrell McLean, calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Amen. And certainly I want you all to continue to lift up Brother Harold McLean. God has already worked some miracles for him in the last week or so, and we are believing God to complete the work. Amen. And so we thank God. I love you too, Prophetess Darrell. Amen. Well, Rhonda, if you have anyone else, just check once again. If not, then the call will be in your hands.
Nope, there is it. So we want to thank you for joining us tonight with the Hour of Power with Apostle Wade. Again, I'm going to leave you with my phone number, 302-401-8574. Call me, text me, whatever you may need to do. Again, thank you for joining us tonight. Have a good night.
Love you.